This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hey, hello, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're at in the U.S. and around the world. Thanks for joining us on the show today. We are thrilled. First of all, special thanks to everybody in the U.S. and around the world for spreading the show. We are in over 100 countries, and a special welcome to ESPN Honolulu. Welcome all in Honolulu, Hawaii. Thanks for joining us. And remember, we're going to have some folks that are baseball coaches also from Hawaii on the show. We've had a couple on already, and we look forward to having many more. Don't forget, go to baseballoutsidethebox.com for the audio. Go to baseballoutsidethebox.com at the website. And also YouTube, Peter Caliendo. Subscribe and get all the updates on all the new shows. Hey, folks, today, guess what? We are heading, and we've had allowed four guests on the show, but we're going to have two for now, and some others may be joining us. But we are heading to what I call the new frontier. I've called it for about 6-7 years already, the new frontier of baseball in Europe. Some great, great baseball development going on in Eastern Europe. I've been lucky enough to be part of it. And I've seen the players. I've seen the coaches. I've worked with the federations. And I really believe it is an up-and-coming area when it comes to development of baseball. Why? Several reasons. We're going to talk about them, in my opinion. The mentality of the game, the development, the training, all of it is top notch. And I really like what I'm seeing out there. So let's welcome. Today we have two federations. We have the Ukraine Baseball Federation, Oleg Boyko, national team coach. Yes. He is the head coach of the national team and member of the federation. Oleg, how you doing, my friend?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Peter?
Doing good. It's good to have you on the show.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
All right. And our second guest, another good friend, Dmitry Kislyav, the Russian Baseball Federation president. Again, ISG has done clinics in both areas. And we've been lucky to, you know, send coaches there and really look forward to returning after pandemic. Let me welcome my friend, Dmitry. How you doing, Dmitry?
Hi, Peter. Good. Everything's very good.
I love it, man. We got Russia and Ukraine baseball, but we were going to have Alex Shechko from Belarus and Chris Sweeney with Polish baseball. If they join us, great. If not, folks, we're going to have them on another show and talk baseball when it comes to Eastern Europe. So, guys, we will start. I will ask you, Oleg, you start first. I will ask you the game in Ukraine today. How is it going? How is baseball doing in Ukraine?
Well, very interesting and tough question. Thank you. First of all, I truly believe what's the game baseball in Ukraine getting better and better every year. But we have some problems at as a way. But I believe and I hope people who run in baseball now can win through all these problems, and we will getting better soon. Now, Ukraine is not really great economically, but sports ministry and National Olympic Committee support baseball as a game, as Olympic sport in Ukraine. So, and also some teams and some private sponsors support baseball locally. And more attention of the people and more kids playing baseball. Of course, I believe we have to do more, but it's what we got now. Now it's about like 2,000-3,000 people playing baseball in whole country.
You know, we're going to talk about the players. It'd be interesting. Dmitry, in Russia, I remember in the older days when I was in Belgium as a national team coach, I played against the Soviet Union. Uh-huh. And at that time, very good players, national team. three signed with major league teams. I remember Seattle and some other teams, Minnesota, I think.
California.
What's that?
California Angels.
Angels. And then the Soviet Union broke up and things started up again later.
Yes.
Russia was going really good at that time. Now it's going good, but you had to restart. Talk about Russian baseball, where it's at today.
So today, just today, it's a spring training. So it's so the Russia is big. You know, we have Vladivostok, we have south of Russia. The weather is different, but anyway, it's a spring training. And Peter, you're right. So the Soviet Union, you know, it was a great time. My brother Alex, so we start develop baseball in Soviet Union. We've been young. Everybody, we've been very enthusiastic. Yes, about develop baseball. Yes. So, and if you're talking when we've been second in a Europe Championship 2001, because this is was it's like the team who have an experience, guys who been played at the beginning. So we have a new generation. So everything was in the right moment at this time. So now, yes, we have to restart a lot of things. It's about the coaching, about the players, about the whole program in Russia.
You know, and, you know, it's interesting. Eastern Europe, I'm going to say Eastern Europe for now in general. And I want you, Oleg, I want to ask you this first. What I saw is players that are mentally tough, strong, good athletes. Are those some qualities that are good in Ukraine?
You know, Peter, at the beginning, in a time, what you're talking about in Belgium, or you with the Belgium, in that times, it's Soviet Union time, it was a players who has a second base. Baseball was a second game for them. Most of them comes from other sports. So we absolutely true. We have a great athleticism. So ability to play with games. So have some skills and only have lack of knowledge in that moment. Now it's a second or third wave of the players. So that guys play only baseball. So we're not so strong because best athletes in our country go into other sports. Sure. Best, it's bad. Bad for baseball because kids who's running faster and stronger, we play in other sports. Like most popular sports in the Europe, it's a soccer. So players, and we have some talents, we have no doubt about it, but most of the players not so strong, not so athletic.
Dmitry, same question. The mentality of training, you know, in the Soviet Union was a tough mentality, and great athletes in Olympics and everything. You see that now in Russia with baseball?
So you see, we're not playing a game. We work hard. it's our mentality. So this is like this. It doesn't matter in which sport. It's in a rhythm gymnastics. So it's in a baseball. It's in ice hockey. It's our mentality. So,
Dmitry, I meant to ask you because how many players in all of Russia for our folks on Facebook and other and YouTube, how many players in all of Russia?
So we have 3,000 registered players, 20 regions. We have 20 regions who develop baseball all over the Russia, and we have 3,000 players.
Wow. And which means coordinating everything around the country. And folks, if you haven't been to Russia, I went to Moscow, and our good friend was flying from Vladivostok, and I did not know. Vladivostok, I was there, was on the Chinese-North Korean border. And to fly
Japan. Japan also closed. Yeah.
But the fly from Vladivostok to Moscow was 9 hours.
Correct.
Which, folks, that's incredible. So organizing baseball with, you know, around the country, it's a very, very big country, as you know, not easy. Oleg, in your country, how is the region set up? Where are the teams?
Oh, it's spread all country around. So in when we play in the same league, and we have to travel to play for a team like Falcons team in a vast region near Hungarian border. So we travel in like 800 kilometers, 500 miles for 3 games for a weekend and back. So it's Ukraine's very wide, a big country, pretty one.
You know, our and folks in the U.S. or anywhere else around the world, you know, in Europe, the clubs are set up. They have clubs in Europe, and they have different levels of clubs, different ages. And not everybody has all the players, you know, like from 12U, 15U, 18U and older. They don't have every age, but they try to have every age. And what I like about all of Europe, but, all over the world, but especially Eastern Europe, the passion, the love that the coaches and players, you know, and have for the game. Dmitry, we talk on the show a lot with other countries, so country can learn from other countries. And one of the questions is, because it's the most difficult thing to do, that's to get young kids to come play baseball, okay? So what does Russia do? Because you're competing against soccer and other sports. What does Russia do to get the players to come play? What do you do? How do you get players at 8 years old, 9 years old to come play baseball?
So we invite them to play baseball. So you're right. It's like, I'm not comparing with the Soviet Union, but yes, when we start develop baseball when it was the Soviet Union, so it was a new sport. It was the Soviet Union where everything, a lot of things doing correct on the right way. Oh, we should develop baseball. So send kids to play baseball, send coaches, find players from different sports, as Alek told you. So here a little bit different story. But anyway, we have it's not called a program. So every autumn, first of the September, it's a municipal, it's a government program that the sports school are open to the 1st of September. The schools are open for kids, for parents. So, and they have a program to invite in a different sports kids. So our baseball, we are representative in also these schools. And also the kids have a chance to go to choose the baseball, not only ice hockey or soccer. It's like a government program.
Yeah, and Dmitry, in Europe, I think most of Europe, if the government is not supporting sports, it would be very difficult to run a baseball program.
So in Russia, it's very important. So. For Russia or for Ukraine, it's the same for our Eastern Europe. It's very important that baseball in the Olympic program, very important. So unfortunately, we are not so popular now. And if we are in Olympic program, we have a chance to be involved in government program, in the municipal program. So we have support from a Russian Olympic Committee. So it's a big difference. So, and this is what the problem when the baseball was out from the London or Rio de Janeiro, it's a break, not for 8 years. It's 8 years like Olympic Games, but for us, it's more than 12 years. We're out of the support from government. This is very important for our baseball.
Wow. Oleg, I asked the question about trying to get kids to play the game because I want other countries to learn from other countries because it's difficult to get a player to come play baseball for many reasons. One reason, the big reason, it can be very slow game. Fast. So in Ukraine, how do you get the kids to come? What do you do?
Well, Joaquin, we have a guy from New York, actually, Basil Tarasko. He is a district administrator of Witowic in Ukraine. So in a few years ago, we had 26 registered leagues in Ukraine. So biggest number in Europe. So he made a great job to extend baseball to all regions. Most of our regions have our own Little League. That's why how we involve kids to the baseball. Now, more and more kids involved by, I don't know, by playing in the school, exactly what Dmitry said, and government supports make a great help to develop baseball. Government supports, we need it for sure.
All right, so Dmitry, you get the player, right? He comes to the club. That's step one.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you got to keep them. Remember, kids are smart. If they're not enjoying the game, they're going to go find something else to do. So how do you? What do you do in Russia to keep the young kids motivated in the game of baseball?
So first of all, not about the motivation. It's like, you see, we have in Russia, the game, our national game, it's, we call Lapta. Mm. Lapta, it's the same principle like in baseball. And I believe that it's the baseball, it's, how to say it? It's genetic inside, in heart. Baseball, mm-hmm. baseball, it's inside, yes, inside the Russia players. So yeah. First of all, the baseball invite them because it's a baseball, because it's, we have, as I told you, the same Lapta. So this is the first one. And the second, we should keep them. And first of all, what we are doing now, it's make our competition more attract for parents, mm-hmm. attract for the kids. So it starts, it's also, like you see, 10 years ago, if there will be no any internet, no games was showing internet. So right. now if there Moscow Championship, it's not in the internet for kids. So the parents start asking a lot of questions. So we're trying to make our competition more interesting. Second, so yes, we have not a lot of kids, a lot of players, and it's not easy anyway to get to the national team, but anyway, it's more easily than to get to the national team than in rhythm gymnastics for kids. So, wow. And to present our country in the Europe Championship, it's a great honor for them. So, and so they practice hard, work hard, is our mentality. So to be representative of Russia in a international competition. This is what we're talking about, the young kids.
Yeah, taking a lot of pride. Oleg, I asked that question because I like the big bat
mm-hmm.
and the big ball
mm-hmm.
for very, very young kids. Baseball 5 is an example of trying to get kids to play the game, because it's a little bit easier and more fun because mm-hmm. there's a lot of action. Do you guys in Ukraine have special games for young kids?
Oh, yeah. You know, I was 15 years volunteer coach at the beginning groups, like kids 7, 8 years old. I have some free times in the morning. So it comes to the school and with some coaches, we start to do. So, and we developed so many games like baseball 5. I can play 2-for-2, 3-for-3, 1-for-1. So many of them. Yeah, it's absolutely good idea how to keep the kids in that game, how to develop those skills in the same time. So games has to be quick and develop special skills. And baseball 5 is one of them, but it's not alone. So right. We can create so many games, and I believe each coach can do that.
And that's why I like to do the show, because I want to give more information to different countries around the world. You know, the Dutch have a game that they developed a long time ago. You know, the Italians have a game. You know, the Russian, you know, Dimitri just mentioned the game that they played. All right. Now, the pandemic hits. It's been over a year. It's been hard on everybody around the world, and in baseball. Dimitri, what have you done as a federation and as an organization during the pandemic to keep the kids interested? Because sometimes when they don't play for a year, they might not come back. They might do something else. What have you done during the pandemic?
So you're right. So you see, it's almost 2 years, one year and a half, no European baseball. It's really tough for us. No games for kids, no games, no international games. Very, very tough. So if we are talking for kids, it was a real problem, because our school was locked down, sports school was locked down almost for 1 year. We have not any permission for practicing in a real, like we're doing in the real sports facilities. But so what our government did, so the players who are in the city national team or in the Russian national team, they have a chance to practice in a different sports facilities or in sports camps. If we are talking about the Russian national team, we are almost did not stop. We practice all over the year. So in a federal sports base, in a federal sports training center where the other Olympic sports practicing. So only with the problem, we just have not any international games. So for kids, no games, but anyway, if you're a member of the city, of the region, national team, your national team, region team, you see, all-star team. So we practice from last year. We start practice in autumn last year. It's like in October. So, but you are right. So some of the young kids who did not have any games, so who are sitting at home and have in a Zoom meeting with the coaches, have their program just at home. So we start missing them. So you're right. It's very tough time for all baseball here in Moscow, in Russia, so in Eastern Europe.
Yeah, but the coaches were able to get on Zoom, maybe visit with the kids, keep them interested a little bit.
So yes, what we did, it was a program with a Zoom. So it was not only, this was only like a federation. Yes, we have a lot of coaches, Zoom meetings. We have a lot of things to discuss. So this is what was almost last year. So because we start playing Russia Championship last year at August. So anyway, also there, what we're doing like in a government level, in a municipal level. So every coach he should be in a connection with the kids through the internet, do it, okay, homework, home baseball, like. But anyway, try to keep, keep their players like in shape. But anyway, we understood that anyway, if you check what your player is doing, if the kid is no game, no baseball, no just open space for a kid, it's very tough to coach them anyway. Yeah.
It's difficult. And folks, great stuff here. If you're on Facebook, you have any questions, type them in the comments section. We're visiting with Oleg Boyko, with Ukraine baseball, the national team coach, and Dmitry Kislyev, the president of the Federation, Russian Baseball Federation. This is Eastern Europe. We're talking Eastern Europe baseball. If you don't know, Eastern Europe has some great athletes, great players. And I believe, as I said many times for the last 10 years, it is the new frontier of European baseball. It will keep getting better and better and better. Oleg, so pandemic, what did you guys do to keep the kids interested and hopefully not quit baseball during the pandemic?
Absolutely, it was a tough time, no doubt about it. It was really hard when we practiced it indoor several months to prepare it for new season, and at the end we lock it down. And a nice, beautiful weather around, and we cannot play. And I spent a lot of hours at the stadium, and I invite players one by one, make a schedule for them. So each of them comes single and have a different directions. And we start to talk, whether we start to do some drills alone, you know, like individual practice. I spend some hours, and I like it. And later, after practice, we walk at the field. We do some job at the field, care about grass, about do some remodeling. And so we spent about 2 months doing that. So I like it. So I did not lose the contact with each of them. So we do not lose single players. That's why I like it.
That's good.
And also we do some good things for a stadium, for grass, you know. It's how we went through lockdown.
Absolutely. I think we all had to figure out ways to do things. Dimitri, the biggest loss during the pandemic, was it financial? Was it the players? You know, what was the biggest loss that you had?
You see, it's not like a biggest. And where you're losing a little bit in every kind of things, anyway, you big a lot. You lose a lot.
Yeah.
This is what we had. So for us, it's as you told about the kids or players in different ages, it's very difficult when you are always practicing. You are practicing, we make our plans, so then we change things, and it's very difficult to keep the older players in shape and to keep them on a focus. And for young players, not just to keep them in shape, to keep them involved in baseball, to be happy with the baseball. This is what the most the tough things for pandemic.
How did the clubs now, in Europe, many clubs, when they play during the season, they make money because the club has a bar, a restaurant or something there where they make some money. Now with no season, a lot of clubs, did they lose money?
It's not our story. Not story of Russia. So we're not earn money on baseball. We're always spend money on baseball. So this is our like level. You see?
I like the spending part. That's good. I like spending. Oleg, is it the same in Ukraine, or have you lost? You know, clubs lose money.
In same as Dima said, you know, we are not making money from restaurant for baseball.
Right.
Not making money from tickets or from spectators. We just spend the money, what we got from the sponsors, from the government, from the local sports committee and stuff like that.
All right. Now, Dimitri, you know, something very important. ISG does coaching clinics around the world, trying to educate coaches on a weekend. We go to Ukraine, we go to Russia, we go to a lot of countries. You know, that's like a conference, you know, where coaches come from all over the country and they meet, and for a weekend they listen to speakers and they learn, and that's good, but it's different speakers. And then the Russian or Ukraine coaches can talk also after and visit and learn from each other. And I think that's a good thing to do once a year. But, you know, we talk on the show, the foundation of any baseball program anywhere in the world. Yes, you have to have money, organization, but you have to have very, very good coaches at the young levels. So my question to both of you, and we'll start with Dimitri, during the year, what kind of coaches programs or education, how do you keep coaches educated continuously? You know, once a month, every 2 months, what do you do?
So you're talking just regular life or just about when we have a pandemic?
No, regular coaches education. Yeah, regular. Let's say regular, and then we'll hit pandemic.
As you told before, so we start our program for development baseball. So, and we start with a coaching program with ICG. So it was a great thing that you came 2 years ago, and we start teaching our coaches again. During pandemic, we have a problem. As I told you, we have a lot of Zoom conference. We have a lot of, we have also the Zoom conference, like coaching clinics with the Baseball Five, because it's a new sports now in Russia. But anyway, we have a problem to coach them, to teach them, because it was a break. But what we are planning to do, so, and what was before the pandemic, so also we sent coaches to United States for clinics, to a Texas range, to other coaching camps, or how to say it, coaching centers. So in our program, first of all, we are sending them in a coaching clinics in different countries, like United States of America, for example. So also to have here in Russia our local programs, not only when the foreign coaches come. So to push them to talk each other more than just only in a field when they're arguing ball or strikes. Yeah. So this is, and also as we're planning and we talk to you, so also when you, ICG, come into to Moscow, it's a place where we're running clinics, where we're planning for a couple of years in future. So these are the three different things, you understood.
Yeah, and that, I think that's very important, folks. We talk about it all the time, continuing to educate. Dmitry, any plans on having a Russian, this is just an idea, but a Russian coaching program where coaches have to be certified to be able to coach baseball?
Can you repeat, coach?
Where they have to take classes, just like university, you have to take a class.
Yes. This is so okay. We have a central university of the physical education, physical culture, and sport. So, and we have a coach who are involved in program of the university, and also we're looking, because in Russia we have the University of Sports, so, and a lot of all sports are in this university. So also we have a baseball over there, and it's our few steps, new steps. So, and also it's like our program to go through the universities, because if to have a permission to coach in Russia in sports schools, you should have the high education, sports education, you see?
Yeah.
So anyway, first steps, you have to enter the university, the young coaches. So, and then like we have a qualification with you and other steps.
I like that, folks. And you know, one of the things we talk about in the U.S. also, we have a lot of volunteers that coach baseball, and we got to be careful. We've got to educate people, because if you can send your 10-year-old to school, and that person needs to be, you know, have some kind of education, well, then it should be the same if you're sending them to a travel program that goes all year round, because those kids are with those coaches all year round. We have to make sure that those coaches are, you know, have gone through some kind of education. By the way, a special thank you to Russian Baseball Federation. I got to go to one of the universities in Moscow to teach a marketing class, which, you know, I know nothing about marketing. No, but it was fun. I really had a good time with the students there. We had a blast. It was about an hour and a half, 2 hours. I really enjoyed it. Oleg, what about your coaching program? I know it's very important. What do you do for your coaches?
By years, we also run some coaches clinic yearly, once per year. But now I understand it's very important to have some foreigner speakers, some speakers who was interesting and probably with some new idea. Because when only coaches from one country comes together and it's not really fun, you know. It seems like we have to do that, but not really interesting and not so many people involved. That's why I believe ISG made a great clinic 2 years ago and will be continuing to come and work will be a nice idea.
Yeah, what about you internally in the country as far as coaches? Do you have any classes for them? Do you hold
your... Yes, the same as Dimo said, we each coach have to have special education with given permission to work with the kids in the baseball. So, and should go went through clinics every year.
I like that. Hey, Dimitri, here's a question, because yes, American coaches come to the U.S., as I mentioned, ISG we talk about. But at the same time, you know, Eastern Europe, whether it's Ukraine or Russia, you guys have some pretty good medical people, biomechanical people. I mean, you know, professors. I've listened to some of them have some really good ideas on how to develop players. So not only do you learn from other countries, but you have very good people within your country that your doctor, as a matter of fact, like your doctor with the national team is very good. So talk about how you kind of mix both. You use both systems.
So we have, how to say it in English? It's like science group. In Russian, комплексно-научная группа. It's complex science group. Mm-hmm. So, and it's like there are people from science. So the special group. So that that are looking like in how to say it, investigating. So try to help us with their coaching programs, with the methods. This is what we have here in Russia. And this is groups, this is group. So they are working with their national teams.
Yeah, so, and I say Oleg because Oleg, I mean, when Russia was the Soviet Union, there was a lot of training in the Olympics that baseball in the U.S. began using about 15 years ago. We took training from the Russians and used it in baseball. That's why, Oleg, now with Ukraine, I mean, you have experts. I've seen coaches work with javelin program. Yes. You know, I've seen them work with different programs to develop the body. Oleg, maybe talk a little bit about that.
Oh. Yeah, by the way, is most famous guy not from Ukraine. He's from Moldova. Alexander, his name Moisenko. He's a very famous guy in Eastern Europe. At least a couple of his athletes, javelin throwers, was assigned by Minnesota Twins several years ago, and so he developed them without playing baseball. Actually, so. When later ask him how many games you have, like 8 or 5 games per year. So, but we're developing in world-class athletes only because we're training with that guy, javelin coach, javelin thrower coach. And it's not single example. Yes, we have to use knowledge outside of a baseball because we have lack of baseball specifications. So, and that's why... Usually, we really like with Major League Baseball and adopt in-way coaches program and send in-way coach every year during 20 years. So we make a clinic around him. And what's about other sports? Now very popular when kids, I know in US it's normal. In some countries, it's not. Still not. When kids play in at least two sports, some of the kids play in basketball in winter, or floorball, it's like ice hockey and floor and baseball. So, and the coaches involve also tennis and baseball. So it's a good idea. It's developing good athletes, I believe, but we still need special real baseball coaches and real baseball knowledge, for sure.
And Dimitri, you know, something interesting, Oleg mentioned different sports, you know, and I want to talk about 12 and under. One sport in Europe that I like is handball, because it's very similar to throwing, you're running, you're catching, you're trying to score on a goalie, you know, so a lot of the skills are similar. Are there games in Russia that young kids play that maybe help them in baseball, like hockey?
So you're right. Handball and our generation who started develop baseball in Soviet Union, the pitchers, most of them was from handball, from the track and field, from the water polo. Yes. So it's an interesting thing that if we are talking about the sports, the kids, it's very interesting that when we are practicing the kids, when we are practicing somewhere in a sports center, where is ice hockey? So the coaches, the ice hockey coaches, so that starts asking us about the gloves, about how we're catching the ball, because goalkeepers. So our players more talented with the catching the balls than the ice hockey goaltenders. You see?
Yeah. So they have similar skills. They got to catch the puck.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But we have an advantage. We know how to do it. We have a lot of things, a lot of methods. How to teach kids to catch the ball. So the coaches from ice hockey start asking us how to do this with the ice hockey goaltenders.
Oleg, what's the most difficult thing for coaches in Ukraine when they're teaching baseball? What's the most difficult thing for them?
I believe for baseball coaches, most difficult thing is organizing, because work for organizing facilities, relation with sports organizations, with the clubs, with the federation, it's hard things to do. And we really need some organizing help, I believe, from the federation. At least federation should help them. Equipment. Several years ago, I would answer say equipment is a problem. But now, internet everywhere is really getting much easier to get any equipment. Well, the money is a problem, because in that part of the world, month salary like 10 times less, but equipment still costs the same, you know. That's why I actually divide equipment for three groups, like individual equipment, what's usually parents buy. And in our countries, where the parents not so rich, absolutely, so we couldn't buy the personal equipment for kids for beginning, like gloves or spikes, like normal parents at U.S. do. So coaches should find some starting kit, like 12 gloves or some balls for beginners. Yeah. It's not easy to do in organized place where they're practicing, like yard or a piece of a soccer field or wherever. So it's a hard part of our job.
But one of the things I believe why there's some good players also coming out of Eastern Europe. Sometimes the fields are not great. You know, some are very good, some are not. And when you play on a field that's not that good, you actually become a better player. Mm-hmm. Because you're dealing with adversity where when, you know, that's why you see a lot of good players from the Dominican Republic, Venezuela. Now you see more because they have larger numbers. But they also have bad fields in some areas, and they don't have gloves or baseballs or a good bat. So I think that makes you a better player. But, Dimitri, the coaches' clinic in Russia, we've been there a couple times. My observation, we had over 100 coaches, I think, the second one, over 100. Incredible. Great coaches, great people. We love being there. One of the things I noticed, and tell me, I don't know the younger coaches, but the older coaches were more difficult to convince that this is how you do something. Does that come from the old culture of the Soviet Union? Where does that come from? Or just because when we get older, we don't believe as much?
This is like this. So you see, because it's like the old generation, not the first, some of them that was the first coaches when it was a Soviet Union. So, and all they've been the players who start developing baseball here. So in Russia. So, and it's a generation like on all coaches. So they win a lot. So they had some of them, they still have good players. So they did a lot for the Russia. So, and they have their own opinion. And that's why they, as I told, it's not difficult to communicate with them. They have their own opinion about the things. But this is good. Yeah. For me, it's good. So we have an old generation, young generation, the middle generation. So, and they push each other to develop baseball, to be more better coach here. So for sure, I wanted every coach like have a modern methods or something like this, but it's life. It's like life.
Yeah. And I like that because you get more questions, you know, they want to know more why. And I think that's important because coaches and players need to ask the question always, why are we doing it this way? Why? Because that's how you learn. Oleg, the coaches in Ukraine, what kind of personality do they have? Are they real tough on players or are they middle? Where are they at mostly?
Oh, you know, first of all, yes, it's old school. Most of them old school coaches, like very disciplined and very tough. And nothing wrong with that for me.
No.
Especially I know great guy, our neighbor, he's supposed to be in our chat from Belarus, Alexander Sechko. He's the greatest ever organizer and most disciplined guy. But I don't think any wrong of that, you know. But now it's 21st century, and each of us should be changed inside for beginning. And how we get some knowledge, how we get some discipline to change ourselves is by using clinics. When we get something new outside, and usually coaches, it's a group of people who most like to be learn something new. And doesn't matter what school you are, old school or new school, all of them like to be getting something new. So this is a good way how to develop coaches. Doesn't matter how age.
Good points. And folks, of course, you always have to have discipline on your team. It's important, but there's a good way to do the discipline aspect of it. And I think that's an important topic to talk about. Okay, we have about 5 more minutes left in the show. And Dmitry, I'm just going to ask you some general questions. Like to know about Russia, foreign players that are playing in Russia. You have players from other countries that play in Russia?
Not a lot.
You have some?
So we have some players from foreign countries, but not a lot. Most of the players who participated in Russia championship, so they're Russians, or they've got a Russian passport, you see.
Yeah, you have a few Cubans on the national team, I think.
No? A little bit more. So we have five of them. So they're more than 3 years, they're almost in Russia. So but not as I told you, not a lot of foreign players in Russia champions in different levels.
Right, but interesting, when you have the Cuban players on the national team, that helps your national team players because the Cubans have a different style of play.
So it's about the naturalization, about the things. It's a long story. We can talk about it. Yes, so they really help us about the ethic at the work out. You see, ethic how to do the things. So, and also it's like we have a lot of good players who can be in a good in a, for example, in the Europe Championship. So, but we need like we need a new like structure inside the national team. So, and these players they bring it to our team. So.
Yeah, I like that. And again, folks on, you know, if you're listening, you know, it's what's great about that is, you know, if your player's picking ground balls with a Cuban shortstop, he's going to see how his footwork is, how his hands. And sometimes just by vision, you start to be you start doing some of the things that he's doing. I've seen that when we take teams in the Dominican Republic and Cuba, we practice together with the Latin players, and that helps a lot. Oleg, any American players playing there, or other players from other countries in Ukraine?
Very few. Past 30 years, very few Americans or Cuban players play here. Very few of them. And what I will be very like for me. Now, very interesting for Ukraine, at juniors level playing and cadets level playing. So under 18 or under 15, play two kids from United States who has Ukrainian passports. So was parents moved from Ukraine to US for life, but still have Ukrainian citizenship, and was kids also Ukrainians, and we play really, really good. But anyway, foreigners in using the chance, if someone interested to play in Ukraine, where is the greatest nature, greatest country, greatest people ever. So please come and contact directly, and you will have a great year, great season here, and also share your time as a coaching.
Yeah, folks, and we'll put Dmitry and Oleg's information, their email, on the podcast show notes. So go to baseballoutsidethebox.com, check it out. Dmitry, how about players from Russia playing in the U.S., whether high school, college, or professional?
So we have now we have one player who are playing in for the Philadelphia Phillies farm system. So he had some problem with the visa here because you see it's not funny things, but it's like politics, and right. When the country not fight, but they do a lot of things with the ambassadors about these things. So to get visa, it's a long story. So finally he get a visa and he's going to the States for a season. Yes, we have one player.
But in history, you've had a lot more playing professionally.
Yes, we had a lot. Yes, we had a lot.
That's good.
For Russia, a lot.
All right, let me ask you both about this one. I know you've yet to participate in the World Baseball Classic, but in the future, there might be a possibility, you know, of more countries participating in the World Baseball Classic with Major League Baseball. Is that a goal for both countries, or do you have other goals before that?
So, Oleg, давай, go on.
Yeah, Oleg, sorry.
Yeah, definitely yes, because somebody genius, he create with tournament. So with tournament, you have absolutely great system where the whole world can be involved. And for me, it will be great promotion of with tournament. I mean, World Baseball Classic. It will be goal for each country to be involved. And we will have possibility to be joined in a root system, like for beginning group, or will be great idea. Absolutely. Definitely. Yes.
Yeah. And Dmitry, they've had the qualifiers sometimes for the World Baseball Classic. And Russia, I would think, would want to be part of that.
So we will see, but it's our goal for sure. It's like we are dream about it, how to participate in the World Baseball Classic. So, and but to go to get over there for qualification or to be successful or competitive in this tournament, anyway, we have some steps here in Europe to do something here in Europe in the Europe Championship.
Absolutely. Okay, final thing, and then we let you go get some sleep because it's a lot later there than it is in Chicago. I will be watching the Cub game in about 30 minutes and enjoying and relaxing a little bit. Final question. Just as we talked about earlier off the air, I was talking with Dimitri, and there's a, I think it's exciting. There's a new league that you guys are starting in Eastern Europe that will have four teams to start off with. And there'll be a special announcement, but I thought it'd be interesting, Dimitri, if you wanted to just mention something about the league and why it's starting.
So you see, for Eastern Europe, for my brothers from countries, so it's very important to be together, to play together, to develop baseball together, to help each other to be like in a good level. So, and it's very, it's not very difficult, but anyway, we have every country, as Alek told you before, or I will tell you. So we have some difficulties to develop baseball, and this league, our purpose is to help each other, to make baseball more popular here in the Eastern Europe, to be more recognized between all people here in Eastern, and we plan, and we're sure that it will really help us, because when we're together, so we became more strong. And as I told you, so we're real brothers here, and we start develop baseball, and it was Soviet Union, so we're so close to each other, and that's why we thought about it 2 years, 3 years ago, but it's time to do it. So, correct, Peter.
Yeah,
yes.
And from everything I heard, you know, I think it's a great idea, Oleg, because it gives kids another goal to reach, to play at a higher level. It's like a pro league almost, where, and like you said, it gives vision to Eastern Europe. And then what Dimitri said, you get to work together. So talk about what you think of the league.
I believe it's will great development and a next step, next level, and a step to next level of competition, because we're neighbors, and when we will have a chance to play more, so, and we became stronger. Absolutely true.
Love it. All right, guys. Listen, first of all, I want to thank you both. Oleg, first you. Thanks for being on the show. This is great information. Great.
My pleasure. My pleasure. Thank you, Peter. Thanks for inviting me.
And Dimitri, I love that you keep talking about how you all work together in Eastern Europe to become better. I think that's fantastic. Keep up the great work, my friends. And Dimitri, thank you for being on the show.
Thank you, Peter. Thank you.
All right, folks, we are closing it off here on a Sunday. It's Pete Caliendo, Baseball Outside the Box, your host. Don't forget, go to baseballoutsidethebox.com for the audio. Go to YouTube, Peter Caliendo. Subscribe to both and get all the information. Remember, we're over 100 countries where we have coaches and players and parents listening to the show. We're also ESPN Honolulu. So again, a special thank you to Oleg Boyko, the national team coach with the Ukraine Baseball Federation. Also Dmitry Kislyev, the president of the Russian Baseball Federation. And special thanks finally to our producer, Brian Kroc, with the Lineup Media Group, and everybody in the U.S. and around the world for listening to the show. Don't forget, be healthy, stay safe. God bless you. And we'll see you on the baseball field. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.